This is the time in our worship that we share together in joys and concerns as we join our hearts and our minds together in a time of prayer. Edward will run around with the microphone and bring it to you if you have a joy or a concern to share today.
So this morning I was taking the dog off to drop in the kennel and found that the owner of the kennel had died, and so Corky is still at home. But just a prayer for him and his family. He was a wonderful man who clearly loved animals and loved what he did and was a wonderful friend to us. Thanks.
Three things. A little over a week ago, my sister Susan had a baby. It's her fourth. His name is Charles Douglas. They're calling him Charlie. So Thanksgiving for that and prayers for her recovery especially. The labor was kind of difficult. I'd also love prayers for our daughter Julia. She is on the last couple days of an outdoor wilderness Christian discipleship trip with Young Life, and just would love prayers for her as well as all the youth from our church that are on the mission trip this weekend. And lastly, I just wanted to give thanks for a really wonderful week. Last week I was at a faculty conference for Christian faculty on the West Coast and just was really encouraged by their faith and their desire to make a difference in the university as Christians there. So thanks.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I tell God thank you. The pastor husband singing my favorite song. Hey, I spiral. And I'm free. So I tell God thank you. I tell Pastor, thank you. I tell the church sister and brother, then thank you for your prayer, for your support. Praise the Lord.
Good to have you back.
Is that a hand over here?
On Friday is my birthday.
Ah. Kenny's going to turn 4 on Friday.
We would like to say it's nice to be back. Thank you to thank you to everybody who brought us meals and were praying for us. April, Sally, Pastor Chris, Gina, Juliet. I missed one. Sorry. But anyway, it's nice to be back. Thank you.
This week, Gina and I are celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary, so I'm very thankful for that.
Prayers for love and comfort for my parents, as this past month they've gone to 3 family funerals. And this past weekend, my brother ended up in the hospital with not knowing what was going on with heart or brain, and luckily ended up just being a spider bite.
Sorry, I didn't want to do mine back to back. I would like to ask for prayers for a good friend of mine's family. A friend of mine from medical school passed away last Monday from cancer. She has a 2-year-old daughter, and her family and community of friends are obviously struggling with it quite a bit. And so her wake is today, and I think they would very much appreciate a shower of prayer.
Congregation needs to lift up Melinda Brailsford and give some mighty, mighty prayers. She's not well this weekend, and I know she would appreciate it very much. Thank you.
This Tuesday, my parents will be celebrating their 30th wedding anniversary. So I just thank God that they're a good example of good parents and good spouses.
Just wanted to say happy birthday to my husband, who just a few days ago had a birthday. We had a nice celebration. I just wish we could still have birthdays and not get older. So, thank you.
Vic, you can be 4 today. That's the birthday today.
Just wanted to give thanks for Marcelo's special days, being baptized today, and for all of our friends and family that traveled, and safe travels for the Muccios back to New Jersey, and for the Kepps back to Minnesota this week.
Any other joys or concerns? Oh.
I'd like to say a big thank you to Gloria Lusignan and her husband George. It was a different last name and I don't know it, and having had that kind of marriage, I should know it. They came over on Tuesday evening and we unpacked and put in place about a third of my stuff. And it just really looks great. The empty plastic tubs and boxes now outnumber those that still have objects in them, and that was just terrific.
As we enter into a time of prayer this day, Don Anderson from the Council of Churches has asked that we be particularly mindful of the communities that have suffered such violence in these days, and particularly the Sikh temple members and community of Oak Creek, Wisconsin, as we join in a moment of silence and prayers for tolerance throughout our world. Creator and creating God, our life is in you. We give thanks for this day, for all its possibilities and promise, for the gift of family as we celebrate baptism this day and worship together, for your call on each one of us to live as your disciples in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our world needs that in this day, to live with love and grace, with welcome and forgiveness, with humility, and help to be humble in that pursuit, always seeking to move where you alone are leading. We pray for our world, this day and all days. We lift our prayers to all those in transition in their lives in good and challenging ways, particularly for those who have been long seeking employment in long journeys, for those in recovery living day by day. We give thanks, O God, for your signs of life and presence and opportunity in Kathy's new position and in the conference and the encouragement that it brought in this week as she led in California. We give thanks for the hands in community which help and aid, for those who have reached out to the Bishop family and for their return to us now in worship, for Gloria and George and her assistance to CJ. We give thanks for those signs of encouragement that even a small token may take and may move. We give thanks, O God, this day for the opportunity for our youth to join in mission together, and pray for your continued blessing on them as they seek to learn what it means to be disciples in you, in Boston and in Julia's Young Life program. We give thanks for the community of Fourth Presbyterian Church, our sisters and brothers in the faith who have welcomed them into their community this weekend. We give thanks, O God, for so many joys in our lives, for the opportunity that so many have had to travel to family and friends safely in this summer, and particularly for those who have come this week for the baptism, for birthdays of all ages, for Kenny this week, for Nicholas last week, and for Theo today. We give thanks for the ways in which you help us mark our years and invite us into deeper relationship with you. We give thanks for the birth this week of Charles Douglas and pray for Kathy's sister and their family as they welcome this new baby into their midst. For Gina and Dave's 10th anniversary, for Meg's parents' 30th anniversary. We pray, O Lord, and give thanks for your healing hand upon those in our midst, for Angela, for Beatrice. We pray for those that are in special need of healing in these days, for those situations known and unknown to us in verbal notice. We pray for Tom Evans' parents as they deal with grief and uncertainty and his brother's illness. We pray for Melinda. We give them strength in these days, a strength that only you can give. We pray, O Lord, for those who are struggling with grief of new losses in this time. Particularly this day, we pray for the wake for Julie and her family, Ken's friend, in the loss that they have suffered far too young. We pray for the sudden loss of John Constanza and his family as they seek to rebuild in these last couple of days and move forward out of this loss. Guide us, O God, by your Spirit, and not our own desires, that we may seek to serve you in love, to welcome the stranger amongst us, to be your disciples, this day and all days, through the power of Christ who teaches us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It is a joy this morning to be able to celebrate baptism, and before we sent children down to childcare, we wanted to give them the opportunity to come forward if they'd like to have a front row seat, literally a front row seat for the baptism this morning, as we gather together with Marcelo and welcome this newest disciple in the faith and the commitment that his parents are making this day. And if the Johnson family would come forward, and Gabe and Jessica and your family, if you would come forward at this time. You get to come up forward, because I'm going to say a few words about baptism here for our children to watch you, too. You guys, the kids can stand up too if you want them to. So. Do any of you know this little guy? This is Marcelo. Marcelo was born a few months ago here into this church, and many of you may not remember that when you were about his age, some of you older, some of you younger, some of you were baptized here in this church. And yeah, he's awake. We'll see what happens when the water hits, too. There's a lot of birthdays, yeah. So we are going to celebrate today Marcelo's baptism, and it's always good for us. The reason we don't celebrate baptisms in secret is because baptism is an act of our whole church to celebrate. And you guys, yes, Theo, you guys are really important for welcoming these new people in the faith. So we're here to celebrate this day and to join together in the story of baptism and the opportunity that you have to see this happening from whatever place in the community it makes the most sense. Let us hear now these words of the baptism. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with us, we baptize those whom he has called already to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together in a family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters of Christ. Know that the promises of God are for each one of us and for you, Marcelo, this day. By baptism, God puts his sign on you to show that you belong to him and gives you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that sharing Christ's reconciling work, you will also share his victory. That dying with Christ to sin, you will be raised with him to new life. Art and Elena, in presenting Marcelo for baptism, you announce your own faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want him to study Jesus, to know him, and to serve him as a chosen disciple. Please show your purpose by answering these questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you trust in him? Do you intend Marcelo to be his disciple, to obey his word, and to show his love? And this question is addressed to Jessica and Gabe, the godparents of Marcelo, and all of your family as you help to help Marcelo grow in faith. Do you promise, through prayer and example, to support and encourage Marcelo as he grows into Christian faith? Do you?
This question is addressed to the congregation. Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of the church, promise to tell this new disciple, Marcelo, the good news of the gospel, to help him to know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship, to strengthen his family ties with the household of God? If so, say, we do.
We do. Let us pray. God of grace, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with your Holy Spirit so that what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your prayer power in prayer and through prayer, may we be made one with Christ Jesus our Lord in common faith and purpose. Amen. It's Marcelo. Okay. What is the Christian name of your child?
Marcelo Cornelius Johnson.
Marcelo Cornelius Johnson. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. See what love our God has shown that we are called children of God. Into the family of faith, we are welcomed not by God, not by anything we do, but by God's grace alone. Welcome to this ministry, to this church, this community of faith, and the commitment that your parents make this day. This is our newest member of the community of faith. This is Marcelo.
Marcelo.
And you guys are going to get to know him over the years. He's not very big yet, but he's going to get bigger, like you guys got bigger. Because those birthdays come. Right, Kenny? They come every year, don't they? Welcome to Marcelo, to this community of faith. Marcelo's shell-shocked here. As we gather together here, we gather to make a commitment to raise Marcelo in the faith. And all of us have that role to play in these days and in the years to come. as we join together with Art and Elena, and as hopefully we see Jess and Gabe come with their family again to visit, as we help out Gina with the Nurture Committee to make Christian education in this congregation happen. It is our role and responsibility to join in that. And we join into it joyfully in this place. Welcome. Want to be with your parents while I pray? Maybe. There you go. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, you are infinite in mercy and goodness, and you have promised that you will be not only our God, but the God and parent of our children. We humbly pray for your child Marcelo, that your spirit may be upon him and dwell in him forever. Take him, we entreat you, under your care and protection. Guide him and bless him in body and soul. Grant him to grow in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and all people. Abundantly enrich him with your heavenly grace. Bring him safely through the perils of childhood. Deliver him from the temptations of youth, and lead him to witness a good confession, to persevere unto the end in discipleship. O God, our Creator, we give thanks for your bringing Art and Elena into this community of faith in which to nurture Marcelo. You have given them a blessed trust in parenthood, the assurance of your unfailing providence and care. Guide them with your counsel as they teach and train Marcelo, and help them to lead their household into an ever-increasing knowledge of Christ, a more steadfast obedience to his will. We commend to your godly care all of the children of this church and these families who are gathered here. Help us in our homes to honor you and by our love to serve one another and our neighbor, and to your name be all blessing and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Welcome. In age 3 through 3rd grade, you can go down for some child care. I believe someone would be leaving for child care, and the family room is always available upstairs for those of you that might need a little bit of wiggle room with kids younger than 3.
Today's scripture reading comes from the Old Testament in Proverbs chapter 31, verses 26 through 31. It's found in your Pew Bible on page 579 and in the large print Bible on page 754. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the city gates. The New Testament lesson comes from Acts chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. It's found in your Pew Bible on page 127 and the large print Bible on page 165. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. Continue in this summer series of looking at characters of faith in Scripture and how they speak to us in these times and days of our lives as individuals and as a community of faith. When I knew that I was preaching this Sunday that Marcelo was being baptized, I was thinking about all of the places in Scripture where there are stories of baptism and the meaning of baptism and the depth of that commitment, and trying to link that to a specific character was almost an immediate response to be drawn to the story of Lydia. There's not much about her in Scripture. She is only mentioned in 3 verses in Acts. And yet, as we gather together to reflect upon her life and ministry, I hope that you will see the rich part she has played in the fabric of faith. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, pour forth your Spirit upon us that the words I speak and the thoughts we have as we reflect on this Scripture might be acceptable to you, might be our rock and our salvation as we seek to live as you call us. In Christ we pray. Amen. The Bible is full of many mysterious people of faith. And the details, as we will find with Lydia, are often very sketchy. Lydia is known by the commentators as the first European convert to Christianity. We read in Scripture that she was a wealthy merchant of purple fabric of the most expensive kind. Her support of Paul's ministry in Philippi is often heralded, though I was surprised to find that Paul actually never really mentions it much in his thanksgiving for that community.
But where is Lydia's husband? How can she be a wealthy merchant? We puzzled over this as we gathered together in the worship planning for Around This Text, our Bible study time together a couple of weeks ago. Did her husband die and leave her lots of money and no children? Did she make her own fortune on her own? We know clearly that Paul, the writer of Acts, doesn't speak about her husband. It just speaks about her household. Several commentators have also thought that she might even be something of a self-made woman, a freed slave, because she comes from Thyatira, which is in the region of Lydia. And often, freed slaves were named after their region. What is clear, however, by our text this day, and that is where we need to focus, is that she is a seeker, a worshiper of God, as the New Revised Standard Version puts it, gathering at the river to pray with others. And we know that she is a person who acted on her faith. The 16th chapter of Acts is a rich story of commitment and hospitality as we encounter this second of Paul's missionary journeys, and a variety of people who hear and respond to this message of salvation. The story of Lydia is the beginning of the church of Philippi. Philippians is known to us in the scriptures as the epistle of joy, the letter of joy, with a wide variety of uplifting passages and texts that we may memorize to encourage us in the faith. And it all begins as the women gather at the river where Paul supposed that there was a place of prayer. There they are met with Paul and Timothy, and we read that Lydia listens eagerly. We also read that Lydia's conversion is the work of the Holy Spirit, as it is ours. As the writer of Acts puts it, for it was the Lord who opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. The Greek literally says, opened her heart to attend to the things spoken by Paul. The word attend, which is the root in the word attention. Lydia pays attention to the things of faith. And this is the first thing that we learn from this story of Lydia, that the Lord opens her heart to listen eagerly. Now, there are a lot of things you guys could be doing on a Sunday morning, but you are here. You are seeking. Perhaps you have come here seeking many different things, to praise God, to be open to God speaking to you, to gather together in prayer, to be seeking new direction or challenges to serve. You know why you are here. We read then in this story of Lydia that Lydia responds to this time of hearing the message by having herself and her household baptized, a fairly common practice in the early church for a believer to have his or her own household baptized. Lydia pays attention to the things of faith, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Lord always is what leads us to our response in faith. It is always a joy to celebrate baptism, to recognize in worship the commitment to build a household of faith, to center one's life in God and the life of one's house, and to commit to making a home for faith in our lives. We celebrate that today with the Johnson family and the extended family that has gathered with them from near and far to be here for this marking of this sacred and awesome event. We gather as a community too to mark formally what God has already done for us, to open our hearts to faith and to be open to God's work inside our hearts. what God continues to do as we live and move and have our being in the household of faith, in our homes and in our church together, to nurture that journey through all the ages of our lives together. But in order for that to happen, we have to show up. How is it that we make a home for faith? We read, and as we look at the story of Lydia, we read that at the heart of Lydia's story is hospitality. It's the heart of the passage that we read in Proverbs as well, which might have been talking about a woman of faith such as Lydia, for this woman of God who is lifted up. It is significant that the first act of Lydia's faith after baptism is to invite Paul and his company to stay at her house. And this is the beginning of the Philippian church. I encourage you to continue to read in this week through chapter 16 as that gift of hospitality and welcome continues, as Paul meets the slave girl with the demon, a demon who recognizes the Most High God through their proclamation of salvation. As Paul is thrown into prison for disturbing the city and witnesses to his jailers, we read in this chapter about the jailer who meets Christ through Paul and takes him home to share that message with his household and for them also to be baptized, to rejoice that he had become a believer in God. And then finally, at the end of chapter 16, they all come back to the home of Lydia to encourage the community. Poor Paul comes with Timothy to encourage the community before moving on to the next place in their journey. How we live in our individual households matters. And how we live together as a community of faith matters as well. Are we seeking to follow Christ together, to celebrate with joy that commitment to live in the faith, to live in the manner that we have seen and heard through this ministry and mission of Paul and Timothy? Though individuals are lifted up in these stories, there is a clear community focus as well in this text. So what then is God calling the church to do and to be? That is clearly what we are about in these days. But it is also clearly what the church should always be about. How are we at work in what God is calling us to do and be? Our text about Lydia reminds us that at its root are the promises that we make at baptism, the commitment we make to seek to follow Christ and to nurture the faith of others. Of Lydia's household, of the household of the jailer, remembering our own baptisms and celebrating this joyous baptism of Marcello today. It is said that when Martin Luther got up in the morning and put water in his faith, he would say to himself, "I am baptized." It was a way of reminding himself that living out his baptism was a key to his daily living in discipleship. For us, as well as Martin Luther, the baptismal covenant is to be lived out daily, not a once and for only then time. What happens in the house matters. In this orientation to faith, in its roots in baptism, as it is lived there and lived in gathering in community to the end of time. Let us be a people who live out our baptisms, not just this day as we celebrate together, as we share together in birthday and baptismal cakes, but all days in our homes and in the community of faith. Amen.
Will you please join me as we affirm our faith together using the affirmation of faith, which is printed in your bulletin. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross.
Giving thanks to God, who has richly blessed us in our lives, we will now receive the tithes and offerings. Blessing upon them, so that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Paul ends his letter to the church at Philippi, the church which began in Lydia's house, with these words: "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." May it be so. For the God who creates, who redeems, and sustains us this day and all days. Amen.